Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 274. I'm Josiah Sat4, the villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week. It feels good. I feel ready to go. I don't have a lot of interesting things that went down necessarily, so we'll see what the bullet points look like. But we're going to roll like we do every week. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 174, we entitled hashtag Diabolical. After a bit of a hiatus, at Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain are finally back to play catch-up, hit some NFL talk, football talk, Super Bowl predictions, then nail some what-the-fuck news. Maid of Honor makes wedding day unforgettable, but not in a good way. I think I might have brought up one of those Bridezilla articles, which I don't know how I would feel about that. Like, my sister got married about 3 years ago. I think her anniversary is coming up next week. Oh, shit, her anniversary is today. I think it might have been yesterday. Shit. I gotta hit her up. I gotta text her. Leah Beth, love you. She was getting very cranky towards the end, and I know women can get very demanding and needy and turn into bridezillas. I never caught it from my sister, so it's not a bashing her episode. It's just like women in general that do turn into that terrible creature. And Leah was really good the whole time. She even told me, well, with me, she was good. And she even told me if I ever turn into one of those broads, I know out of everyone in the whole family, you can tell me straight. And at least I know I would have turned into the thing I don't want to turn into. So it was cool. Anyway, so that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. We also hit this one, a wife accused of plotting rape frame up of U.S. Marshal's ex-lover. I know that sounds a little confusing. Wife accused of plotting a rape frame up of U.S. Marshal's ex-lover. So her ex-lover and the wife, like she had this brilliant idea to frame him in this weird way where it looked like he raped her. I know it sounds weird, but if these are ever curious to you guys at all, jump back 100 episodes ago, which constitutes to closely, roughly 2 years ago for the most part. And why? You may be more honest if you swear often. I just love conversation pieces like this, and I swear like a motherfucker. Like I can caption myself, and I know I can, and I can mute myself, but I'm very stern, I'm very harsh, I'm very harsh with my words. I know I'm passionate about a lot of things, and if I see wrong in the world, I have to say something. I'm not timid, I'm not shy. New listeners, I'm not timid, I'm not shy. I'm explicit for a reason. I just love those ones. So how do you guys feel about that? Why you may be more honest if you swear often? Great article. I've been wanting to bring more articles in, but allotted time and the days I have to record is sketchy. I'm recording today on the 12th. Oh my gosh, my sister's anniversary. On a Tuesday. I'm going to go into some bullet points in a bit and just explain a few things. All right, we hit Comic Talk, Comic News, Star Wars Episode 8 gets official title, The Last Jedi. Fox wants more X-Files in 2018. Fox's X-Men drama reportedly nearing pilot order. That's obviously not going to happen. And then discuss Marvel's and DC's digital download move. And is it a good thing? Then finally, rock some comic reviews. Gamora number 1, Uncanny Avengers trade paperback update. Uncanny X-Men number 17, Venom number 3, which was Book of the Week. Batman number 14, and Silver Surfer Requiem number 1, which was also Book of the Week. Interesting how I read and reviewed that one that long ago, because I have some pretty dope reviews. If you guys want to know that one, it's a comic, it's a trade paperback worth picking up. I think it's only like a 4-issue long arc story. It's almost essentially like the death of Silver Surfer. It's a beautiful story, and Asad Ribic, one of my favorite artists, is the artist, and he does such an amazing job. That was a book of the week, so go back 100 episodes ago, check that out, guys. All right, bullet points I don't have a lot of. Not of a lot of exciting things that really happened this past week again, but just some bullet points I want to hit real quick. So last Thursday, this happened 11/7, it's a local radio station, K-Rock 106.7 out here in Southern California. I'm a Cali boy, Southern Cali cat, and a show I listened to, grew up with, literally, since junior high school, The Kevin and Bean Show. This is something like, do I want to talk about it or do I hit it? So it's one of the co-hosts last week, and they made it to the Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which was in New York on Friday. And that's not necessarily part of the story. They got inducted with Ryan Seacrest, who's huge out here, 102.7 KISS FM. Rick Dees, he picked it up after Rick Dees left that radio station. They got in with inducted with Jim Rome, so a huge sportscaster cat anyways. John Tesh, I know it sounds like old names to a lot of people. Depends on the age demographic I'm trying to hit right now. And Dr. Ruth. So if that's going to be the most extremely odd and eldest name on that list. They all got inducted to the Radio Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And in saying that, it's one of those topic pieces, like, do I want to talk about this? And I figured, yeah. So I got to hear his last day on Thursday last week, which was 11/7/2019. In an odd way, I just want to hit this bullet point real quick without brushing it over. In an odd way, it's one of the main reasons why I thought I could do something like this. When I was younger, and still now, like, I'm fascinated by radio and radio broadcasting and editing and sound effects. And one of those fascinations where once podcasting became a thing, it's like, you know what? I think I could do it. I mean, granted, I sound terrible and I would have to edit the fuck out of my voice because I sound terrible to myself. And I know most people sound terrible to themselves in their own heads, the octaves, everything that goes on. And again, it's just one of those things. I took radio broadcasting classes. At OCC, Orange Coast College, granted JC, but they had a great program, and it was something like, yeah, this sounds like a long route to get my foot in the door to do anything. And granted, I graduated in 1998, so it wasn't a feasible thing at the time, and I would love to say I was one of the first people through the door, and honestly, no, I'm not. This is episode 274, and I still feel like 274 isn't a lot. As many downloads as it shows on podbean.com, the comic syndicate.podbean.com, it's not reflective of our total downloads across the board from everything. And that makes sense in a weird way, because we were on Podomatic and we had like 30,000 plus downloads on there before we jumped ship and banked all these shows. So it's just a weird thing. But again, radio broadcasting, and not just the radio aspect. Like, I would have loved to be a DJ. Like, I need to make a top five list, and I'm probably going to do that. I'm going to add that real quick. Top five job list. Dream job list. And it'll make sense why I wrote that one down, guys. So anyways, it's one of those jobs where I would love to toss on music and just sit back and, like, talk to callers and accept callers and, like, do giveaways and shit like that. Essentially now, in a weird way, I'm able to do it. I'm able to talk to people, not interact with as many people as I would like to, because Robbie, Justin, sorry, guys, I know you guys have been hitting me up on the side of Grip to do more collaborations, which I really would love to do. At the same time, I'm really busy, and I know that sounds terrible, but I got the second job. And I actually, the second job is working bartender at a movie theater / barista, and I picked up a gig on my day off this Saturday to bartend for a party. And it's like, all right, we know a bartender, and it's like, can you do it? And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, what do you guys got? Like, I can mix. Like, I can – what do you guys need from me? So I'm probably going to take it. We're working out details. So if I get a phone call during this, please don't mind the phone ring and buzzer and the dogs barking and the helicopters going on tonight. we have quite a few of that going on. So anyways, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this. I know, I don't want to say the ins and outs, the intricacies of radio and music and editing and producing and hosting. I don't know. And it's been a learning process from day one. I know what to do, what not to do, and I think I'm a good enough talker to get around points and to interview people. I think I'm a good enough people person to get out good quality from people. Sometimes you interview people with very low personality. Like, that's a weird way to say, but it really is a thing that people aren't good in social situations, I guess, is another way to look at it. But I try my hardest, and it's never like a brush over. Sometimes I feel good about a show. Sometimes it's like, I really wish I would have had a better show. But I always try to bring something consistent and cohesive to what it is on a weekly basis. So if I miss news or a topic or something, a subject, 1 week, and it's been several weeks, I don't like to hit it or touch upon it because I feel it's old news by then, and I don't want to recycle the same thing that most of you guys would have heard by a certain point. All right, that's all I got on that aspect. The next bullet point is just going to be the end of the year podcast. So best of the year, best of podcast for 2019 is 7 weeks out after today. So after today, Tuesday, November 12th, it's going to be seven more weeks until I put that out. I still have a lot of work to do on that show. And this is one of the topics I'm going to add. Top five dream job list. And I'm going to read these, guys. So if you guys have one, hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up, text me, email me. If you have my email, text me, though. Hit me on Facebook. Find the Comic Syndicate on Facebook. Find me Josias Arabello on Facebook. Find me anywhere you guys want. And I want to ask you guys. I'll read as many as I can. We'll see how many I get. But just give me a list. Top five lists. Your own personal. Number five. Dream jobs you wish you could have had in your life. So if you wanted to be a stripper and that wanted to be number five, and your number one dream job was an astronaut, like, give me your fucking list. I will be glad and happy to read those. All right, check out the Comic Syndicate again on Facebook for behind-the-scenes panels of and pages of books I'm currently reading that are more in-depth for you guys to put a picture to the reviews I'm actually putting up. All right, we're going to hit the next portion right now, which I'm going to brush over through slightly quickly. I'm just going to hit the bullet points real quick of each topic. I'm not going to go in depth unless I feel it should. Elijah Wood keeps trying to reboot A Nightmare on Elm Street. I love scary movies, horror movies. I love, I'm a horror fan. I just love horrors. What can I say? Sorry, bad joke. I love horror movies, so anyone that's ready to get these franchises off the ground and put it out in a good way, positive way, or not even positive, I mean, it's a scary movie, give it a new, unique spin or vision, something we might not have seen before. It is possible to pull off these movies. Speaking of an old movie by Wes Craven, Scream, Wes Craven horror franchise, returning to theaters with fifth movie, and Scream. This is one of those ones that are a little too recycled. If the idea is not original anymore, and Wes Craven has passed away since, but if, you know, his family wants to sign off rights to do more, it's not a bad thing. Just give me a good movie and a good horror movie. This next news, I hope more people have heard of. Bill Murray is finally confirmed for Ghostbusters 2020 Return. And I believe it was Dan Aykroyd that mentioned it on a podcast somewhere. So he is confirmed to come back. Yes, there were rumors, but now it's a thing. This one's interesting for several reasons, and I might go in depth in this one. Streaming companies set to take action against password sharing. A new ACE working group will focus on reducing access to unauthorized content with a specific focus on password sharing, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The Alliance for Creativity and Entertainment, ACE, has announced a working group aimed at reducing unauthorized access to content. While the ACE will tackle various issues related to this topic, they specifically mention improper password sharing. All right, let me stop there real quick, guys. Password sharing, we know, is a thing. How do you guys feel about it? How many devices can you stream from for Netflix, for any streaming site that you guys use in your day-to-day lives, your weekend lives, your whatever, just your lives in general? How many people do you guys share your passwords with? Think about that. As a top concern and priority, the ACE is made up of larger studios such as Disney, Sony, Warner Brothers, Netflix, and Paramount, as well as smaller ones including Lionsgate, AMC, and MGM. Amazon is also a member of the group along with the ISPs, Comcast, and Charter. For now, no plans are in motion to stop password sharing. Instead, ACE is working on implementing best practices, quote-unquote, that will prevent account sharing. This includes limiting the number of devices that can simultaneously stream from a single account, something that a few streaming services already do. A ban on password sharing could impact quite a few customers from a variety of streaming services. According to a July 2019 survey, 14% of Netflix users give their passwords to non-family members. Is that a number for you guys, and does that number make sense? I would say that's higher. I dropped my Netflix a long time ago, but I just don't watch TV. I don't have time to watch TV. The lady and her family picked up Disney Plus literally today, which I'm going to go into. And she's like, if you want to watch whatever you want to watch, rock it out. It's like, I appreciate it, babe. I don't have time. So I don't know what's going on or when I'm going to have time. Hopefully I'll get to watch something tonight, but we'll go into that in a bit. This is still password sharing, which, again, is a thing. All right, so compared to Hulu's 11% and Amazon Prime's 6%, a move to ban or limit password sharing would be a major 180 for the industry. For 5 years, HBO's then-CEO Richard Plepler said password sharing has no impact on the business, calling it a quote-unquote terrific marketing vehicle for the next generation of viewers. Okay, if you're going to look at it with that mindset, I kind of back that way of thinking up. But when is it going to get to the point where they're going to look at it like the business module as well is not working? Like, it's a family of five people and they're all sharing the same thing. It's like, no, we want these little fucking kids to go to work so they can have their own subscription with us. I mean, it's got to go there too, right? Or am I the only one to think that crazy or that boldly? Like, that's where it would go in a weird way. All right, and last one on that, password sharing costs Netflix over $1.5 billion annually. That's a grip. I think they make enough, and they have enough money to put out their own Netflix original movies, so is that really a bad thing? All right, DC News guys, Matt Reeves, the Batman, eyeing Andy Serkis to play Alfred Pennyworth. How do you guys feel about that? He's a great actor. Especially his stop acting, his stop motion acting, which he did a lot of movies for. He was Caesar. He was Caesar in all the Planet of the Apes movies that just got put out, the remakes. Colin Farrell has been hit up to play the Penguin. How do you guys feel about those roles? They're still in talks, so we don't know where that's going yet. Next one is going to be Sandman came out today. Sandman Gaiman already working on season 2 of the Netflix adaptation. This is news to me because we've heard nothing about season 1 at all. Sandman co-creator Neil Gaiman provided an update on the upcoming Netflix adaptation, revealing planning has already begun on season 2. Gaiman, who serves as a writer and executive producer on the Planet television series, revealed he, fellow writer, executive producer David S. Goyer, and showrunner Alan Heinberg have completed not just scripting the pilot episode, but plotting 2 seasons worth of story. Interesting. I love the world of Sandman and Dreaming, so I'm very curious to see how this comes out. Next one's just going to be Marvel and Disney News. Disney Plus will allow limited stars promos in exchange for Star Wars rights. That's a thing. So they're going to get rights to their Star Wars movies. It's a lot of legal stuff. Companies, other production companies that had access to rights of Star Wars that don't necessarily belong to Marvel because, again, those tricky things. Again, Disney Plus launched today, 11/12/2019. Have you guys seen anything? Or are you guys watching anything right now? By the time you guys hear this, what have you guys seen? Hit me up. Let me know what's good. Something new that you guys haven't seen. This was interesting about Disney Plus that came across today that I thought was interesting. Disney Plus does not cut offensive scenes from classic films. All right. This Disney Plus streaming service will reportedly leave the contents of its films as they are. flaws, and all. All the old classics are available in their entirety, with both heartwarming moments and racist undertones intact. Okay, we're still gonna finish it. That's not to say that Disney has chosen to completely ignore the concerns of its many fans. Accompanying the description of each film is a brief warning that reads, "This program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions." All right, guys. How do you guys feel about that? How soon is it going to be? Granted, it came out today, November 12th. And how long until somebody, a grumpy old fucker, or a fucking, it's just someone that's going to bitch about shit. How soon until they bitch about it? Do you guys give it a week? Next week, I'm probably going to have news on, like, some assholes pissed off because they didn't edit this shit. So, crazy, interesting, all of that, dude. All right, what do we got? I'm going to hit some comic news real quick before I hit some comic reviews. Only because I do have some good comic reviews that I really love and really enjoyed. So, exclusive, Mark Millar preps secret comic sequel as a Netflix Christmas special. Netflix hired Mark Millar specifically to work on projects, his own creations, in a somewhat Millarverse. So he's a great writer. And they're going to drop like a special of Chrononauts, season 2 of that. Although it's a comic that I believe they're going to make a movie, they really should make a movie of it, which is just pretty cool. I guess the huge one that I'm really going to hit is several things. Within the next few weeks, I have to write and properly come across or dissect two runs that are ongoing right now, one for Marvel, one for DC. The one for Marvel is going to be Daredevil, written by Chip Zdarsky, right now is really great, that I really need to go in depth on. And Batman for DC, that's written by Tom King, that's really great, and that's very divisive amongst fans and audiences. And that's why I want to tackle it, because it's like, this is, it's perfect for what I need right now, and I don't understand why people are getting pissed off, but I love the character, so I kind of get why people feel the way they do. This is about Tom King. The writer for DC's mainland Batman series has provided an explanation behind the delay of his and artist Clayman's Batman Catwoman spinoff series. Initially set for a January release, the 12-issue maxi series has now been pushed back indefinitely. "So we decided to go big," he said, while working on the initial issues of Batcat. "Clayman and I started to realize we might have something good here, a Mr. Miracle or a Vision in the world of Batman. Two great titles that I suggest and recommend for any reader across the board, if you like comics or not. Accomplish something that ambition requires a minimizing of compromises," King continued. "The Dark Knight Return did not have fill-in artists," which this title was specifically going to be different artists each month for the most part. "So Clay offered to do the whole thing at 22 pages, but he'd of course need time. When the best artist in comics says, let's do it right, you don't say no," the Batman writer then concluded in his statement. "But all that means is that Batcat is pushed back a bit, which is why it's not in the January solicits. The first scripts are in, Clay's drawing them now. They look gorgeous. I, hopefully, like you, can't wait for this one to be up. Thank you for all your patience. Just dope." Next one is going to be, I posted the picture up about, 2 weeks ago by now, and I don't know why I keep missing this news. I know I was on hiatus for a little bit. East of West, Image Comics title concludes with Christmas release. In this business, it isn't often that you get to end a project the way you want, and I think that's what makes this one so special, Hickman said. "We started East of West with a story we wanted to tell, and we've had the incredible honor of having a bunch of fans make that story a reality. So enjoy it. God knows we have." East of West was originally debuted in March 2013. The series puts a sci-fi twist on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, who are the only hope of a dystopian United States torn apart by a never-ending civil war. The story concludes in East of West number 45, where the political tensions, character relationships, and action will all be tied together. It's a great title I've been praising for the longest time, I think, since we started this show, and I love it. I adore it. I love Jonathan Hickman's writing, and I'm going to miss those characters. I mean, that's pretty much in a nutshell what it is. I'm going to miss these characters. All right, these next ones, I'm going to go into a lot of dialogue, guys, and I want to apologize, but just go along with the ride. First comic I'm going to review is going to be a Marvel Comics title. It's going to be Absolute Carnage number 4. Donnie Cates is the writer, Ryan Stegman is the artist, J.P. Mayer is the colorist, and Frank Martin is the inker. First page starts off with Eddie. Well, fuck. And these are all expletives. It's a Marvel comic, so they won't necessarily cuss in them. As the first page is of Null, Dark Carnage. Carnage scrapping with Venom Hulk. As the next page now is one of Eddie and Spider-Man, Dylan, little Normie Osborn, where we get Eddie's inner monologue. My symbiote abandoned me, left me for Hulk because I was too weak to confront Cletus. In another life, I would have been devastated by the loss, scared to be alone, too weak to run. But I don't have time to be afraid right now, because I'm not alone, as we see him act now, but with a plan. So the Venom symbiote is off him. He's just simple Eddie Brock with the concussion and this really fucked up looking bloodied eye. He's fucked up. The Venom symbiote was trying to heal him, but this is where we're at now. Listen to prior reviews or just pick up the titles, guys. This one dropped 2 weeks ago. It's a great title. Pick it up. It's a great series. It's going to end in 2 more issues. This is just my thoughts on these. And great to see where he finally is not afraid to be alone and even to run now. So we see him act now again with a plan using Rex's old symbiote tech and weapons, along with the other heroes' weapons as well. So prior issue, Maker came up with a device to take out the codexes from, or codices, it depends on how you look or how it's worded, from each superhero that's ever been infected by the Venom symbiote. That's the plan, but in doing so, they're each jacked up and incapacitated for a bit. And this is where this comic really shines in a lot of weird ways. So, we see Spider-Man, Eddie, you go out there and you will die. As he's gearing up, and it's Eddie Brock like, okay, let me grab this, let me grab that, let me grab that. Do you understand me? You can't possibly be. Eddie answers, I can't protect them, Pete. I'm useless in here. At least out there, I can make sure they don't kill the Avengers in their sleep. You're all I have. Please. And this title is really good about showing the weird differences and also similarities between both of these characters. Between Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and Eddie Brock Venom. The heart they have and how they each act, and they're different characters, and that's the coin flip is beautiful to see. And the conversations, the way they've been talking to each other, is a mutual respect in a weird way, like, I hate you, and they just respect the fuck out of each other. So Donny Cates has been writing that perfect. And he tells him, you know, just stay here, Peter. And it's really fucked up. You're all I have. Please, for whatever I've been to you over the years, just please do this for me. Promise me. And Spider-Man knows what's going on. He's got the little kids with him. Spider-Man says, okay. Okay, yeah, as long as I'm standing, nothing gets to the boys. You have my word. So we have Dylan, who he thinks is Eddie Brock thinks, and Dylan thinks Eddie's. They're just brothers, but it happens to be Eddie Brock's son. And then Normie Osborn is essentially Spider-Man, Peter Parker's nephew. So it's just the kid aspect, like take care of the kids. As Eddie now, the man suits up for work. And he's like, how much time do I have? And the answer is just really interesting. And he's like, well, they've been out for about 25 minutes. They're going to be out for another 15 more minutes still. Maybe 5 more minutes, something like that. And it was just really funny because Eddie Brock's answer is, awesome. I can pretend to be a hero for 10 minutes. So here you go. There you go, 10 minutes. So it's just, again, the great parallels in these scenes is beautiful. If I go down, I'm going to go down swinging from Eddie Brock. The scene then jumps back now to the Carnage Hulk Venom fight, where some interesting things happen here. Carnage is legit getting rocked by this Venom Hulk. He's doing little to fight back, but he's even oddly working himself as well. So when I say that, Carnage is thinking and methodically coming up with a plan to fight back and do something, we'll see where that goes. excuse me. So now with the symbiote bonded with Banner now, he's able to read him. Because once these symbiotes attach to their host, there's this hive mind behind the symbiotes, and he's able now to read his thoughts and emotions because he's part of the symbiote hive mind now. So now we get some gnarly scenes as shit goes down now. So Hulk Venom is in control of the fight, but Carnage makes a move, stabbing at him with, like, pins, pointing and stabbing the Hulk's brain. Sorry, or pinpointing and stabbing at his brain. Clea says, Carnage, boy, it is just adorable in here. He's reading his mind. You actually think you're crazy. Here, come with me. Let me show you, child. Let me show you how I see the world. Now jumps back again to Eddie's fight as he's holding up but getting rocked. So using these sonic guns, these weapons that can fight off symbiotes, getting attacked now by Miles Morales, Carnage, where we get a clear view of how Eddie Brock works, this tough love aspect. As he's like, you know, I gotta take you out, kid, type of deal, but like trying to help him, like, I'm gonna fuck you up, kid. Here's a little bit of an eye-opener for you. Where it works as he blasts him now with some side of like sonar pulse gun. Miles, oh god, did I hurt anyone? His symbiote kind of reduces a little bit. Eddie, you're fine, kid. Come on, we ain't done. Miles, where is he? Carnage. Eddie's like, Hulk has him. It's okay. We have to. Miles, wait, what? Brock, no. We have to get to them. Eddie, kid. It's okay. It's the Hulk. He doesn't need our Miles. No, you don't understand. Carnage gets stronger with every codex he takes. He gains a small piece of power from every one of them. So far, he's only been able to reabsorb them one at a time from the dead and people like Deadpool and Gargan and Norman Osborn. But Brock, if he takes your symbiote from Hulk, if he gets Venom, he'll be unstoppable. Damn it. These next pages are just dope. These sequences are great and fucking sick. Beautiful and gorgeous. Just amazing. Like, even Google Absolute Carnage number 4 and see what you guys can get out of this. But the art by Ryan Stegman, he's drawing so great in these. And it's beautiful, worth checking out. Eddie now. I have tried like hell to make myself believe the inevitable wouldn't arrive. That somehow, some way, we can find a way to beat Carnage. But seeing this, as they both go now, and they see what's happening to the Hulk, for the first time, I find myself without hope. Carnage is going to win. God is coming. As we see Carnage now. Now, where were we, Brock, as we see what he does, and he literally dissects and goes into the mind of, or the brain of Hulk, Bruce Banner, Venom, and he's able to absorb the Hulk's powers, and he gets the Venom symbiote as well. It's really cool. It's, again, just really beautiful to check out and see. Carnage now looks at him, now where were we, Brock? And there's not a damn thing I can do to stop it. This is his inner monologue going off Eddie's. He then hears a voice. You've done a good job, Brock. Now what do you say? Think I can have a turn with that thing? And that's where the panels get beautiful as these characters finally come alive. So he's got Captain America's shield the whole time, like blocking shit. He's got these guns, these weapons. He's fighting these Carnage horde by himself. So Spider-Man can protect the kids. And he's going to work. That's what's really cool about these pages. And once that's, you see who it is who's telling him. He's like, you've done a good job, Brock. Now what do you say? I think I can have a turn with that thing? And it's him like asking him for his shield back. Like, all right, dude, you're going to get hurt. You don't have powers, dude. And then Eddie says, inner monologue. But then again, I keep forgetting. I'm not alone in this. With more gorgeous art from the backup. So the art from Ryan Stegman, we see Wolverine, Captain America, and The Thing. These cats going together that are great characters alone, but working together to take out Carnage. or fuck me, this Hulk Carnage null fucking creature now is beautiful to see. And this is where a twist comes into play. As Miles is able to tell Eddie, Miles, Eddie, come on. What? What's going on? Is it Dylan? Or Miles is like, no, look, we have to stop them. As we see a page in panels and of what's going on. And we see the Carnage Horde attacking this machine that the Maker, a different version, twisted version of Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, created to take the codices out of everyone's spinal cord. And the just that play is great to see. I don't understand, why are they attacking the machine? The heroes are all out of it. Their codices are gone. The machine burns them up once they... Miles, that's what I've been trying to tell you. I don't know what the Maker told you about that device, but he's been lying to you. I felt it when I was connected to Carnage, and the Maker was also taken over prior issue as well. And even in the currently going Venom series, there's a good story about Dylan in there, which I'm going to try to cover. Just don't think I'm going to have enough time to tonight. I'm going to roll a little bit long with this title because it's fun. I have a bunch of reviews or two reviews that I really wanted to get to because they mean a lot to me. And it just felt good. I might save those ones for Christmas just because they're kind of feel good. And we all need to feel good every now and then. So that's the best rendition currently that I saw where it's like, you know what? This is a good feel good. Anyways, back to the title. And it's just really cool. I don't understand what's going on. And that's what I've been trying to tell you. He's been lying to you. I felt when I was connected to Carnage, the machine doesn't extract codices and destroy them, Eddie. It collects them. As we see panels of the Carnage infected horde attacking this machine. And it's really beautiful to see. So again, the three heroes, Captain America, Wolverine, and the Thing are fighting this twisted Carnage Venom Hulk symbiote. Like, just looks gnarly. The way Ryan Stegman keeps having to redraw this character more amped up and more twisted. Good job to fucking Ryan Stegman. I've loved this cat's art for a while now. It's honestly pretty just dope to see on page. The writer and artist have this lobbing back and forth where the dialogue is so fucking good. And the art's so fucking good. And it's just great to see them set up the pages and panels and what happens. As Eddie himself now sees and witnesses what's going on. And again, the back and forth between this creative team just completely shines. All the work they put into the storytelling, the art, the colors by J.P. Mayer and Frank Martin, the art, the inks, the colors are fucking really well put together. And then Eddie says, and then just like that, I feel it. As we see the heroes getting dropped now. So Hulk getting rocked. Thing getting rocked. Hulk's already out. Captain America getting rocked. Above the pounding heart of Spider-Man below me. So he's underneath protecting the kid still. Putting his life on the line once again to protect the innocent. To protect my son. And by this point, Eddie is the only one knows that it's like his son, and those pages and panels between Eddie Brock and Dylan are in a weird way just beautiful for me to see. Like, it's a great story. Dylan thinks it's his older brother, and Eddie, I think I said that vice versa a lot earlier, but I've explained the relationship. Eddie knows, like, you're my kid. So I get Eddie Brock's weird reason for caring about this kid that should be his little brother. As we see Spider-Man now, ready to fight for these kids. So now Carnage is about to enter the cell, this room, where he's just ripping the door apart now. And we see Spider-Man web up his fist, and he's fucked up too. His mask is ripped, and the kids are right behind him. And Spider-Man, we see him ready to go to work. Beautiful. Just to fight for the kids. Through the endless demons clawing their way out of the shadows of my past, I can feel it rising in the air, cutting through the screams of a carnage-born god, sending ripples of electricity through my codex, laden spine, boiling just below the surface. aching to get out as this machine is calling to him now. For the first time in a very long time, I feel it. Hope. These pages are, again, are beautiful as he's beat up and lost himself. And he does what Eddie Brock does. And he does things on his own terms. Like, I know a guy like that. So I love these flawed characters. Breaking the machine for himself. And it's really dope. Like, he's breaking apart this machine. And they fall into me. Black rain. Brewing and growing. The CODIS is writhing and connecting with my own. The voices of their former host screaming into my mind. Captain America's voice barking orders and war strategies. Wolverine's rage igniting my blood into ancient fire. I see through Hawkeye's diamond scalpel eyes, the Thing's ungodly strength, turning my muscles to stone. They all melt together inside of me. Many voices becoming one. The power, not like anything I have ever felt before. Something new. Something better. We are the fury of this red-drenched city, clothed in the armor of an avenging legion. This ends with us. All of us. Because we're stronger when we're together. And together, we are Venom. So he breaks this machine and all the heroes that the Maker and Bruce Banner before he Venomed out, that they took the codices back and that were stored in this machine. Again, the context was pretty much what happened earlier that Dylan, or I'm sorry, that Miles was trying to explain to him, like, I don't know what he told you, dude, but he's shady and he's not destroying them. And Eddie realizes, like, shit, if I can break the machine and get these out, and he's able to become one hive mind with the heroes that wore the symbiote. So he's connected to them in a weird way. And it just ends with Venom growing some wings and flying out after Carnage as Carnage just rocked the Hulk, the Thing. The Hulk, the Thing, Captain America, and Wolverine. And that's where it ends. It's a dope fucking story. I wanted to go long on two other ones that were actually book of the week, but now that I'm going through this one again, it's like, fuck, this was fun. And to know and to catch, like, teams that I love working together. Like, East of West is one of those titles for me. Like, Jonathan Hickman and Nick Trigoda working on East of West is so beautiful to see and to get great dialogue and a lot of exposition and just so descriptive. And the art is so beautiful just to look at, where it's like, wow, that's sick. I don't know who this character is, but they look dope or rad or cool or relatable. This person looks like they're in pain, or even someone's writing when they can trigger that in me. I love the fuck out of it. All right, guys, without going too long, I will not hit longer than 50 minutes this week. If you guys like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I believe on Twitter, there's a new thing, CastBox, that I've been seeing a lot of recently. Sounds pretty dope. It's like an archive in a weird way for podcasts, and I believe they might have an app as well. I noticed we were up on there and they like plugging podcasts. So that's a cool thing to share, because I've been meeting a lot more people on Twitter again, which I don't hit up as much. I'm more of an Instagram guy, and I'm completely cool with them taking off likes or the like button so people can feel like they're loved or some sort of validity in their lives. I don't know how to look at it, but that's honestly how I feel about it. So Twitter, I'm at For the Villain on Twitter, @comic_syndicate1 on Twitter. Well, forgot that. @comic_syndicate on Instagram. I share a lot of my nerdy shit I do on Instagram. And if you guys want to see these pages, these panels, behind the scenes, straight up, if you guys want some spoilers, go there, find the Comic Syndicate. Please share the podcast more than anything. I love doing this. I'm going to hit the end of the year within 7 more weeks. I have already a bunch of reviews I have banked up. So when I go long, I try to keep it tight and concise. And I really wanted to kill 2 more titles, But that would mean I would go for another about 25 minutes because I know I'm a talker. All right, guys, share the podcast more than anything. You know what? Leave me a review. If you guys leave me a review, hit me up and let me know. I don't care for numbers necessarily. Like, I'm able to see things, but it's like I'm taking my things at my own time and the way I know. I'm like fucking Eddie Brock. I just do things on my own fucking terms. All right, guys, share the podcast. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.